welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, and before Trevor and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Blue Tigers head coach Moses Harper.
All right, well, just bouncing back to last week, obviously the final score didn't go the way you guys wanted, but it's really that five-minute stretch that you guys are probably kicking yourself about where it went from a four-point deficit to a 25-point deficit in a hurry. Just kind of what were you seeing when you watched that back?
Well, I saw a group that started turning the ball over who got into the third game, hadn't turned the ball over. So I'm standing on the sideline trying to figure out, okay, what's really going on? And then, you know, that was a sound football team. When you make mistakes, sound football teams make you pay for it. You know, they got a scoop and got it down to the one-yard line. But in situations like that, even though we fumbled it, I looked at my team and then I saw guys with a bad look on their face because they're looking down and watching. That's not who we're going to be. If it's a turnover, we're going to go stop to make the play. You know, so those are the things I still focus to clean up. But in that situation, I was trying to figure out, all right, what's going on? And then I had to call a timeout to bring them all together and tell them, don't start pointing fingers and don't start letting each other down because you still got a game to play.
Yeah, and the major positive for you guys was just the way they were able to finish that game when the score was already out of hand. So just kind of how pleasing was that to see?
It was good, you know, especially we got some stuff that people have to respect now, like kickoff return. They don't want to kick the ball to Duda, Darren Fletcher. They don't want to kick it to him because we could probably start on the 45. Our field goal block team, I've been preaching to them this week, be prepared because somebody's going to hit you with a fake because they can't get the kickoff. So those are some positive spots we had to look at. But the thing about this young group, they keep playing hard for four quarters. And I preached to them this week, if you don't make those mistakes early, and if they make those mistakes when they do, maybe you have a chance to win a football game. So still, we're still working and searching on what that really looks like for us in the fourth quarter. I know we had it week two versus a really good football team. And so now week to week, we're still trying to put four quarters together. Our word for the week is consistency because this group has been very inconsistent. So we're just working on one day at a time, one opportunity at a time. We're focusing on trying to be consistent.
Yeah, and just how are you guys resetting to head into another conference game against Southwest Baptist?
Well, the main thing on Sunday, we always say don't let the last week beat you the next week. So when we walked off the field on Saturday and we talked about it on Sunday, when we walked out of the building on Sunday, that game was behind us. Our focus now is on the next opponent. Now this is another young group. We got to get out and go on the road. You go on the road, you leave early, you got to go and play at somebody else's home. They're searching for a win, and so we're searching for a win. So it's another GLVC battle. You know, we've actually played three GLVC games, so we kind of have the speed of the game and the type of competition we're playing. So we're putting ourselves in a position to know what we're going up against, but this team will be hungry as well.
Yeah, and just kind of rolling off that, they took a 7-0 lead into the fourth quarter last week against Upper Iowa and then allowed 21 unanswered there in the fourth. Just kind of what did you notice from their game last week?
Upper Iowa just kept leaning on them. You know, it was a lot of heavy set, and they just ran the ball downhill. They never got out of character. They continue to lean on them. And a couple runs broke big. A couple plays they set up later in the first half. They hit on a big pass in the second half. So it's the same thing. A lot of these teams want to run the football. Now this team is going to chunk it around. But we got to be there and make sure we can, again, control the line of scrimmage, offense and defensive line, see if we can establish the run game and put some drives together. This week is bigger than any other week we've played because if you give this team multiple opportunities, they'll figure a rhythm out and they'll start scoring points. So if we can keep the ball away from the offense, that'll definitely help us going into Saturday.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Lincoln head coach Moses Harper. Trevor, I don't know what to make of last week. We had such high hopes. 48-20 loss. Was William Jewell better than advertised?
William Jewell looked pretty good. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're playing really good football right now, but I do think that's a game in about a month and a half they're going to look back on it. Gosh, can't believe lost by 28 points to that team.
Right.
That William Jewell team is going to take some lumps in this conference. They're not going to stay undefeated forever.
Yeah.
They played a good game. All the credit in the world to them. Lincoln's going to be really kicking themselves for some stuff that happened in that game. And it was really just about a four-minute span early in the second quarter.
Right.
So I believe it was the second play of the second quarter. Lincoln's facing a fourth and two at their own 49-yard line. Drop pass past the stick, so it would have been a first down. Turns the ball over on downs. Six plays later, touchdown William Jewell. William Jewell has a short kickoff to about the 25-ish yard line, 30-yard line, somewhere in there. William Jewell recovers it. Two plays later, another touchdown. Second play of the ensuing Lincoln drive, sack strip, return to the 1-yard line. Two plays later, another William Jewell touchdown. What was 7-3 early on in the second quarter, with 10:53 left in the second quarter, was 28-3.
Yeah.
The game was effectively over at that point. William Jewell was able to extend that to, I think, 31-3 at halftime. They score off half. Lincoln goes three and out. They block the ensuing punt, return it for a touchdown. All of a sudden, in a span of about 18 game minutes, it goes from 7-3 to 48-3.
Right.
So, yeah, it spiraled on them very quickly. And that span, the 21 points of the sequence of events I said in the early second quarter, happened in a span of 12 real minutes.
Yeah.
I went back and looked because I was like, it couldn't have been much. I tweeted that they failed that fourth down at 12:33 p.m. I tweeted that they went up 28-3 at 12:45 p.m.
Right.
It was unlike many things I've seen before, and I have seen a lot covering this team. And that is kind of a demoralizing loss. Like you mentioned, there were a lot of high hopes, especially from us.
Right.
headed into that one, obviously the losing streak goes into that. But it doesn't seem like they are very affected by it. So we'll see how they respond this week. But I know it's going to be hard for young kids early on in college to experience that and kind of get ready for another one.
You know, I think the other thing is about this game where you talk about how they had a number of short fields and they struck quick and they got that game out of control. It still, though, ends up being kind of a statistically dominant game for William Jewell from the standpoint of, like, they almost double him up in yardage. I think it was, you know, 408 to 216. So I think it's maybe not just the fact that you give up 408 to a team that looked like it was doing pretty well on offense. It's the fact that you can only muster 216 against them. So I almost feel like, you know, that also worries me a little bit from the standpoint of, you go, okay, and who knows, maybe in 3-4 weeks from now, we look back at this game and go, like you say, maybe Lincoln looks back and it looks real winnable. But if William Jewell keeps it rolling, maybe we look back in 3-4 weeks and go, well, you know what? They showed us back then what they maybe are now if they can keep things rolling. So maybe you go, okay, maybe they're better than advertised, but I still just got to look at it and just go, 216 is one of those, you know, numbers that worries me from the standpoint of, you just go, not must have much have been going right at all if that's all you could muster.
Yeah, it really all starts with the running game for Lincoln, like we talked about many times on this, and they really struggled to get that going last week. And William Jewell's front seven is the strength of that defense, and they really showed that. And they were able to disrupt a lot of things around the line of scrimmage and really lay some big hits on those running backs in between the tackles. And I think they kind of wore on them pretty quickly in that game. And I mentioned the drop on fourth down. There were quite a few big opportunities that they missed out on that were there. So scheme-wise, I think Lincoln kind of had the right game plan. It's just execution and consistency. They just weren't able to sustain drives, and they had key mistakes at key moments, and it led to that game getting out of hurry quickly.
Yeah, 30 rushes for 77 yards has got to get better. I mean, that's just flat out. If your identity is going to be, we want to rush the ball, we want to rush the ball, and then we want to rush the ball some more, you better get some yardage while you're doing that, because otherwise that's going to be problematic. So the loss drops the Blue Tigers to 0-3 overall and also 0-3 in the GLVC. It's a road game today, 1 o'clock at SBU. The Bearcats are 1-2 overall and 0-1 in the GLVC. So I guess, you know, much like we thought last week was a gettable game, I'll just ask you, is this week a gettable game?
I mean, if everything goes right for Lincoln, they for sure could win this game. Like we talked about many times in the GLVC, there's not very many out of possibilities for them to win a game. Like, sure. If they play their perfect game, they could beat almost any team in this conference, excluding maybe two or three. So yes, they could win this game, but SBU is not going to be an easy game by any means. They're an offense that should present some challenges for Lincoln because they like to take deep shots down the field.
Okay.
And Lincoln likes to play a lot of man coverage in the secondary, and they have some young corners that have kind of taken their lumps early in the season. So that's going to be a matchup to watch because they're going to want to take shots, and I'm sure they've seen it on film that the opportunities are going to be there. So I'm sure that's going to be heavy in their game plan, and I'm sure Lincoln's preparing heavy to stop it.
Just in case people are curious, that 1-2 that goes into SBU is the fact that they lost the season opener at Black Hill State 24-14, came back and won 42-10 at Oklahoma Panhandle, and then lost last week 21-7 to Upper Iowa. And that's one of those games where Upper Iowa's had some pretty decent results the last couple seasons where you go, okay, you know, they've been solid some years, and then sometimes they've risen up and bitten somebody real, you know, so you think, okay, they played them tight. And it sounds like it was maybe tighter than, you know, it could have been, or could have been even tighter if they had held on to a lead that they had going in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were up 7-0 going to the fourth quarter, and I did not watch the game personally, but from what I've gathered from Coach Harper, it sounds like they kind of got wore down a little bit.
Okay.
Upper Iowa was running the ball a lot, and they were able to kind of wear them down, get some chunk gains in their running game in the fourth quarter, and then mix in a couple explosive passing plays, and they also kind of ran away with that game in a hurry, and kind of hid and were able to hold on for that 14-point win. But one thing that Lincoln thinks is on their side this week is the fact that Southwest Baptist only played one conference game. They played two out-of-conference games, and one of them against the Oklahoma Panhandle State team that's not great.
Right.
Not a world beater by any means. So they think that they have a decent grasp on the physicality of GLVC football, although it's only been three games, but they feel like that's an advantage for them.
Absolutely. It's worth noting at this point, you know, we're three games into the season now. We kind of look at these things in thirds sometimes, or just kind of depending on, you know, we've gotten enough under our belt right now. What do you see after three games where you go, okay, this is something we can build on, or, and then this is something that is a problem?
Definitely something to build on is that the flashes are there.
Okay.
They blocked three kicks in the last 2 weeks. They blocked two last week, returned one for a touchdown. They blocked an extra point the week prior, returned it for a rare two-point conversion by the defense. So special teams, and including Clayton Winkler, we talked about him, he's been a phenomenal punter for them. So in years past, I've seen some really poor special teams units to go on top of poor offensive production and poor defensive production.
Right.
And so they weren't able to flip the field when they were punting. They were struggling on kickoffs and just a multitude of things. It seems like special teams is actually a strength of this team. Didn't mention Mo Al-Whaley. I don't think he's missed a kick so far this year.
Okay.
So that's something that they're really priding themselves on. And the offense has shown a little bit from time to time. The receivers are kind of as advertised. They're deep threats, and that's what they want them to be when teams creep up into the box and try and take shots over their head. But the inconsistency is the big one that they're going to be highlighting right now. They're not able to sustain drives offensively right now. They get points on explosive plays, and most of the time it's explosive run plays that are getting them that. So being able to find consistency, and it was something that Coach Harper and I talked about this week, first and second downs, how important those are, because in a run-heavy system, when you're facing 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, that's not a situation you want to be in.
Right.
And that's a situation they found themselves in more often than not. So inconsistency on the offensive side has led into defensive production dipping because they're having to stay on the field all game. And for a team that's not worldly deep, there's some depth issues for this team. You can't expect your defense to be on the field for 40, 45 minutes in a game and expect good results.
Yeah. The other thing at this point in the season that always it starts to add up gradually as the season rolls on is the injury bug. And so I guess it's worth asking at this point, after three games, how's the overall health of the Blue Tigers?
There's two key injuries for them this week. Jarice Howard's been the lead running back so far. He had that 111-ish yard performance 2 weeks ago against McKendree. He took a pretty big hit last week in between the tackles. He did not return in that game, but I don't think that's the injury. I was told there was something in the weight room that cut his lip this week, and he's going to miss for that. So
right.
He is out, and starting center Patrick Atkins is out. So that's an injury in the interior offensive line, which could be big for a team that likes to run up the middle a lot.
Right,
so
right.
Running back, center for a run-heavy offense, not a great situation.
Yeah.
But the silver lining is it does seem like Jeff City graduate Cantrell Jordan's going to see the field some this week.
Okay.
And they were able to get a running back back last week, and I'm blanking on his name right now, so I apologize for that. But they were able to get some back in the backfield, and they're looking to debut one of their younger pieces in Cantrell Jordan. So we'll see how that works out, but you definitely don't want to see injuries at running back and an interior offensive line when you're a run-heavy offense.
Southwest Baptist leads this all-time series 9-2, so I'll just ask you, do the Blue Tigers make a dent in that today and at 1 o'clock at Bolivar today?
They actually do have a one-game winning streak in this series. They won their last matchup in 2018, but I don't think today's the day the streak ends for them. I think this Southwest Baptist...
You know what? That's a good point that you bring that up. We've forgotten to talk about that and the fact that, yes, the streak hit what last week?
41 games.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think it's going to reach 42 this week because I think that Bearcat offense is going to be able to get some explosive plays in that passing game. Lincoln might be able to limit some of them, but I don't think they're going to entirely be able to shut that off. So I'll go 28-21 Southwest Baptist.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.